Okay, so with regard to the question of the different of the level of Oved Me'ava, where the Rambam seems to first say that it's a basic level, and then so there's only the level of Avraham Avinu. So I think the answer is that in the beginning the Rambam is saying, he's talking about the Derech, right? He says to be Oved, to do the mitzvos for schar or to avoid onesh. So he says, Ein roi lavod es Hashem al haderech hazeh. That's a certain philosophy of mitzvah, right? That derech is not the right. That derech is very low level. That derech is what he calls the derech of the Amei Haaretz, right? But then when he says that you teach them Achitavra Daitan V'yovdu Me'avo, so then that means that you change their derech. Okay, it means you change their attitude towards mitzvahs. Now they realize that there is a benefit of MS in mitzvahs. There's a benefit of becoming closer to true knowledge of God through mitzvahs. So that changes. That's the idea of derech. That changes their derech. But a person can have the right idea of the derech and still be conflicted in individual, you know, instances, because although he recognizes an idea of reality and recognizes the benefit, he also has other attachments. You know what I mean? A person can have a certain degree of recognition, but still not be free of other values. So he could be Oved Hashem al the derech of Ava, but still have to force himself to overcome particular instances where he's drawn by other influences. But what the Rambam is talking about, the ultimate level of Avas, of Oved Me'ava, like Avram, that's where his only thought is Yediyas Hashem. I mean, then it's Mi'ad, then he has no conflicts. You understand? So the thing that's the derech of the Amerites is means it's the wrong derech completely. But you can be on the right derech, but not on the level that you really see it all the time clearly. And you might know that it's true, but at this moment you want to do something else. At this moment there's a draw in another area, and you have to make yourself do it. So that's the right derech, but it's not in every instance a natural flow of asiyas hamitzvos. Whereas the level of Avraham Avinu, he had no other interests. This was his only. That was his only interest of getting proper knowledge, and therefore it was no. There was no decision. He didn't have to. He didn't have to force himself at all. Just Vayashkim Avraham Baboker. That's his only. His only thought. Okay, that's the highest. That's the. You would say the full actualization of the derech of Avo, right? Okay, one other interesting point is in the Sefer HaMitzvos, in the Mitzvah of Ava, so the Rambam says, he has an extra thing over here in the Sefer HaMitzvos, right? We discussed this also last week, that he says, Kvar hinei bi'arnu l'choshe, but Histaklus tavo lidei hasaga, v'yimotzi l'cho ha'tainig v'tavo ha'ava behechrech. It's not a mitzvah forcing you to have a certain type of a feeling. You know what I mean? That feeling is associated with what, that feeling is a natural human experience associated with the person is masig as emes. Okay, but then he adds an extra thing. He says, Ukvar omru she mitzvah zu koleles gamkein she nikra eis kol b'nei ha'odam la'avodoso yisale v'le'amuna bo. Shekein im ata ohev es mishehu tehalalenu v'tishabachenu v'tikro b'nei adam la'avaso. That now Rambam here says, so he says that what? I mean, the basic idea is that what? That not only is it a mitzvah of yourself to pursue knowledge of God, but there's also an element of this mitzvah to call other people to avodas Hashem, because someone should, it's interesting. So the Rambam again is making the analogy, right, like to a normal love between a person again, between people. Like just like he says in Hilchos Tshuva, he describes the love of Avas Hashem with an analogy of an Ava of a between people. It's funny, of a woman, okay, of a man to a woman. Here, it's interesting. Here. And over there, he doesn't have that whole element of bringing love to other people. Here, he describes the idea of including others with the same similar analogy. That if a person loves somebody, he wants to praise him and bring other people to his love. V'zeh derech ha-moshel. That's a moshel, though. Kach im tehav es Hashem be'emes b'mashi higia l'cho me'asogas amitusso harei she'ata b'lisof e'tikro es ha'psoyim v'ascholim li'idiyas ho'emes she'ata kvar yodea. Another thing, like it's a mamela thing. So too, if you love God be'emes and what you perceive, you will no doubt call the fools to know his truth that you already know. Right? So you will no doubt, that will no doubt happen. Hiyan hinata below sofek tidrosh v'tikra has kofrim v'asicholim yediyas ha'emes shir yodata oso. Yeah. Uloshon sifrei v'yahavtei es Hashem ahavehu al habrios. You should bring his love to the brios, to put his love on the brios. Ke Avram avicha, shnemar v'snevesh yirasu b'charon. Kolomar, k'mo shehoya Avram, l'fi shehoya ohev. K'mo shehoya l'chus of zera Avram, ohavi. Korei b'otzim hasagoso es b'nei ha'adam le'muna, me'rov avaso, kach te'aveyu ad shetikro b'nei ha'adam e'lov.
So you're saying that's just another dimension of your own Ava?
That's what he says, right? That's what he comes back to. He's saying it's like a shear in your Ava.
Right.
How much Ava? So much Ava that it even expresses itself in your desire to bring it to others. Just like Avram was the Ohev Hashem, prime example, and he did that, so too you have to have an Ava that will generate that as well, right? Not that you have to do that,
right?
You have to have an Ava. But the question is, what is that idea? What is that idea, the Ava? Why can't you just have the Ava yourself? I mean, what is that you... Is that like a chesed to other people? Like what? That if it's a chesed to other people, I don't know, it doesn't sound like a different element. It doesn't sound like an Ava element. It's just the new thing. Why does it stem from Ava? I don't know. That's a good question. A good question. The question is like this. Let's say a guy were on an island, right? Completely isolated from mankind. Would he, and he reached this level, would he feel like he wishes he can get off the island to spread this knowledge to other people? Or is it just when you're in the situation of other people, this occurs? What do you say? You had the question, so what do you say? In other words, is it a lack in your own Ava? Is it a lack? Are you lacking if you're not sharing it with someone else? Like as a positive thing? How would we frame it? How would we frame the two sides? In other words, as a positive thing, or is it just some removal of a negative? You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to be around fools.
He's good.
In other words, if it's like a positive thing, then on the island the guy would be missing something and he'd feel frustrated. Right? But if it were a different idea, that his sense of reality makes him only comfortable among people with the same reality. You understand? When he doesn't value relationships anymore in the typical way. Doesn't value relationships anymore in the normal way. Now everything is going to be a part of his Avas Hashem. You understand? And he's not going to have all of his associations. Like, he's going to want to have this type of... To have an association where this is not present is not an association anymore.
Don't you love the woman also? I love the woman.
As it reminds me of something in the Kuzari, where he talks in the third essay in the beginning. He talks about the perfect man, the perfect Jew. The saintly person. And whether the saintly person wants to be isolated from everyone or not. Okay? So he says, he's not cut off from this world. That way of life will become a burden and cause one to despise living. When life is really full of God's goodness, God himself cites good life as a reward, which he gives to the righteous. Okay. Rather, the servant of God loves this world and long life because through them he acquires the world to come. Then he says, but there are times when a person wants to be totally alone. It says, like Eliyahu. He divests himself so that he can join with the heavenly host. Once this is accomplished, he will not feel alone. He will not feel lonely when he goes into solitude and isolation. As a normal man, there's a certain level where you have that's part of your psychological happiness. Like Ram discusses in the Mora that loneliness is a very devastating thing. But he says it's possible to reach such a madrega where, to the contrary, he'll feel lonely in the presence of many people because he's already removed from this lowly world. Instead, feels more part of the heavenly kingdom. Okay, that's a very high level. But then he says there's another level, the philosopher. That they do enjoy solitude. They do so to purify their thoughts so that they can intellectually arrive at sound conclusions. They will thus arrive at truths which will answer all their questions. They will still desire interaction with their students who will provoke them with their questions and remind them of things they had forgotten. They are like the ardent businessman who hates to mingle with anyone except those who can help him make a profit. This is the level achieved by Socrates and his colleagues. In other words, an average person enjoys social interaction. You know what I mean? He just enjoys social interaction. And a lot of times people say, well, we're not going to discuss politics at the table. We're not going to discuss anything controversial at the table. Why? Because we want to sort of compartmentalize. You know, we want to just enjoy the company. Right? Just enjoy the company. And the more we realize who's sitting with us, truthfully, the less we're going to be able to enjoy this company. So let's just forget about what an idiot you are for right now and just enjoy the company. Right? But that's basically what people are saying. But... He's saying when you have this idea of Ava is such an overarching, it's an all-encompassing idea. And it permeates all of your interactions. All of your whole view of reality is shifted. Avram's whole view of reality was different. He couldn't just enjoy a camaraderie. He didn't have that. That was an emptiness. That was an empty kind of a pleasure. There's no... That's like a false thing. So, but he does live in this world. He does live with people. So the only thing he can do is He has a tremendous desire to elevate the level of the of the people, to bring them into his existence. In other words, so they shouldn't be existing in a fake world. You understand? It's really it's not really for them in that sense. It's because his view, his idea of his ava is so great. The minute he sees somebody, the only way he can interact with them is by bringing them into his reality. Otherwise, they're just like an empty existence. It's just like an animal. I mean, it's not a real. There's no social interaction. There's not even a social interaction if the person is not on that same within that same realm. That's like the ardent businessman. He doesn't value anything. He doesn't value friendship other than as a part of his view of reality.
So the animal shows a bit extreme. A person doesn't feel like they're.
I think on the island, I don't think the person would feel he has to get off the island to tell other people about this idea. I don't know if, according to the way I'm thinking about it. I mean, I'm not, you know, we have to think about it, but it would be, he would maybe want to get off the island to be back into reality, you know, necessities, but then once he's there, he's going to want to perfect that reality. He's going to want to perfect his surroundings. It's sort of like a ticking of your surroundings, you know, as opposed to trying to convince other people of your idea. Another way, and I think that's also the mashal, like when a person has a fan club or something like that. They want social interaction, but they don't want it to take away from their overall value. So you have to get together to talk about the person you love. You know what I mean? There's a certain conflict in relationships, because relationship is a certain human pleasure and I guess a level of a need. But the act of getting into each other's the interaction could distract you from, you know, itself takes away from what you really value. So you have to have a certain camaraderie. You know, you can only have the camaraderie with someone who you consider like you. You can't have a camaraderie otherwise. So if your main thing is your whole focus on life is a certain thing, you're not going to have camaraderie with someone who doesn't have that focus. There's no interaction. There's no true interaction. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Guy is a good question. What was your question again, Guy? He should have just said that basically you don't want to spend time with other people. You just want to spend time thinking about this, and then when you have to, right? It's true. It does sound like you want to benefit people, because he says you call the fools and the you call them. You call them the Adias HaEmes. It does seem like Avram was trying to lure people, right?
Proactive.
He's trying to lure people in. And then share this knowledge with them. He was seeking out these people. Right? It does seem like he wanted to benefit people in a certain way. Yeah. In other words, again, if you personally believe somebody is great, so you want that to be expressed in reality, like the woman we discussed with the queen, you feel that this person is great, and you feel this, you feel it's like a incongruence, is a sort of it's wrong that their greatness is not expressed. It's wrong that they don't have this stature in the world. That's like a something that is amiss, and you're sort and to bring other people into it is to set things right. Right? I mean, that's the way an ardent fan feels. You can't believe that the rest of the world does not recognize the greatness that they see. Right? And it's true, the person's not going to be any greater the more people recognize it. But greatness should man recognizes greatness should have a certain stature in the world. And if it doesn't, there's something missile, there's something out of line with the whole reality of this, the whole human reality. The whole human reality is out of whack. And that's just an affront to your sense of right. You know what I mean? So if you feel something, that's an activist, right? If you really are married to a cause, you know, you're an activist, you want to set it right in the world. Community activist. You want to set it right in the world. What's motivating that person? It's this very high sense of justice. It's like a certain... So he's saying, if you, a person like Avram, saw the reality and saw how out of line the human situation is with that, it's an intolerable situation. Not really bringing it to the people for their benefit per se, and certainly not for God's benefit. But it's to bring the reality into actuality. It's to bring what is really true. To have it be expressed through the, to have it be expressed in the world. It's hard to get further than that. Of Emes. Right, it means part of the drive of Emes. It's part of the drive of Emes. Right. So then, even on the island, the guy would be upset. He would be upset because if he knows the rest of the world is expressing a corrupt reality, and he's part of that reality. He's part of that reality. Or that reality, I don't know.
He wouldn't wish that there were other people.
Right.
Correct. If he was the only person in the world, he wouldn't wish there were other people to express this idea with. Correct. 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 All right. So we decided we were taking up a question, a little bit of a general question of the idea... of Ava and the idea of Ava and the idea of Simcha. See if we can define, if we can get a clear definition of love and happiness. Right, two ideas that are two things that are on most people's mind. Right. So in Torah. We got started from the last parak in Tshuva, where the Rambam talks about Oved Me'ava versus Oved Me'ira. Okay. So the Rambam here describes an Oved Me'ava. Yeah. One second. We just noted that it's a little strange the way Ram expresses it. He says it like this: Al Yomar Adam Harini Osa Mitzvos HaTorah V'Osik B'Chachmasa K'deisha Akavu Kol HaBrochos HaKsuvos Bo O K'deisha Ez Kelechai Olam Bo V'Efrosh Min HaVeros She'Hizir HaTorah Mehen K'deisha Notze She'Notzel Min HaKlolos HaKsuvos B'Torah O K'deisha Lo Yikareis Mechai Olam Bo. So he says a person shouldn't say, I'm going to do the mitzvos of the Torah and be osek in its chachma, in order to receive the brachos, or to be zochet chayel olam haba. And I'm going to separate myself from the averos to save myself from the klolos, so that I shouldn't be cut off from olam haba. Ein roi lavod es Hashem al haderech hazeh. Okay, it's not proper. Ein roi lavod es Hashem al haderech hazeh. Okay, which doesn't sound like the worst kind of a thing, right? We're just making a point in the way the Ram what seems to be conveying. It seems to be somewhat contradictory. So ein roi doesn't sound like the worst thing, right? It's just not roi. Sheha oved al haderech hazeh, hu oved meyira. So at that point you'd say, okay, not so bad, right? It's not roi, And you're not, where are you not? You're not at like the highest level, right? You're not at the level of Nevi'im and Chachamim. But then he says you're really low. Ve'ein ovdim Hashem al derech ze ela amei aretz v'anoshim v'ketanim shemechanchen oso en lavad meira. So ad shetir b'daitan v'yavdu me'ava. So he says, but then he flips. He says, no, it's not just that it's not roy, like it's an okay thing, but it's not the best. This is really like the level of the lowest segment of society who have no knowledge, right? And we only tell them to do this until what? Until they increase their knowledge, and they're an oved me'ava. So no, so the impression you get now is like oved me'ava. Is now it comes out like Oved Me'ava is not that high. Just once you get a little bit above Nam Aretz, now you're an Oved Me'ava. Right? And it was like the implications are sort of like whipping back and forth, right? First he starts off saying the Oved Me'ava is the level of the Nevi'im and the Chachamim, and then he's saying, no, just once the Nashim and Avadim get a little bit of knowledge, now they're an Oved Me'ava. Right? And then the next halacha, He seems to reverse course again. He says, "Ha'oved me'ava osik b'Torah." Okay, because he hasn't defined the oved me'ava yet, right? He just said what an oved me'ira is. "Ha'oved me'ava osik b'Torah b'mitzvos v'holich b'nesivos ha'chachma lo m'bnei davar b'olam v'lo m'bnei yiras ha'ro v'lo k'dei li'arei shatova ela osa emes b'pnei shu emes v'sof ha'tova lo v'b'glah." So his oved me'ava is really like the way he's describing lishma, right? You're not doing it for any. You're not doing it for something or to avoid something, right? It's just because it's emes. Umayla zu he mayla gedola ma'od ve'ein kol chacham zocher lo. Right. So a minute ago he said, when the amei haaretz and the noshim get a little bit of das, then they're an oved me'ava. And it's not proper to do anything but oved me'ava, right? And now he says oved me'ava, not even chachamim can reach that level. Right? Ain kol chacham zocher lo. Right? And it's just a funny, like, where is it exactly on the spectrum? Vihi mailas avram avinu. Shekar kosh brochu ovo. Mefish lo ovad elame avo. Vihi amailas shetzivonu. So it sounds like almost unattainable at this point, right? Vihi amailas shetzivonu bo kosh brochu. Ade moshe shnemar grihafta shem alkecha. But now it's like a tzivu. Now it's like a regular mitzvah. Right? Okay. Ubizman so Vyahafta Shem Lokecha is just Ava. Where's an Oved Me'ava? Right? Ubizman Sheyeh Ovodim as Hashem Ava Haru'uya Miyad Yaseh Kol Mitzvos Me'ava. Right? And he says no. Because it says you should love God Vyahafta Shem Lokecha. And when you get the Ava, that's Ru'uya, now it's an automatic thing. You're going to be an Oved Me'ava. Okay, so that begs the question. Because now there's an Ava Ru'uya. It's not just Ava, right? Now there's an Ava Ru'uya. So the Ketzad here, Ava Ru'uya. What is the proper Ava that automatically sets you on the course of an Oved Me'ava? Hu sheyehov es Hashem ava gedola yisera ozo me'od. It's that he loves Hashem with a great, strong love. Okay, gedola yisera, an excessively large, strong love. Okay, ad shetei nafsho kishura ba'avas Hashem. To the point where his soul is bound up in Avas Hashem. Okay? V'nimtza, but it still is, I mean, what does it mean still, right? So, v'nimtza shogeba tamid. He's constantly involved in it. Ke'ilu, okay, ke'ilu, well, we have different gearses, right? Ke'ilu cholechuli ho'ava. Right, as if a person was lovesick. She'ein daito penuya me'avas osa isha. All of a sudden, you get thrown into left and say, "What? What's going on over here?" that it's like, now it's like the love of a woman, right? Like a guy who's completely madly in love with a woman. V'hu shoge bo tomid, bein b'shivto, bein b'kumo, bein b'shoshu, ochel v'shosa, constantly thinking about this woman, right? Yeser mizeh, tiye avas Hashem b'leiv ovav, shogem bo tomid, k'mo shesivona, b'chol levo v'chol, v'chol nafshecho. V'hu sheshlomo amad derech moshel, kichulas ava oni, v'chol shir shir moshel huli nizeh. Okay, so that's the Rambam's description of an Oved Me'ava. An Oved Me'ava is what? That when a person has an Ava Haru'uya, then he's automatically an Oved Me'ava. And what is an Ava Haru'uya? It's like an obsession, right? It's like an obsession. Like when a person is obsessed, or the man is obsessed with a woman, right? That same kind of a thing. That same kind of a thing. The normal Ava? Yes, so what is the normal Ava? So the normal Ava would seem... And then the Ram says later on, Dover Yaduo Borer, She'ein Avas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Niksheres Belibo Shel Adam Ad She'yishke Bo Tamid Karoi. Okay, V'yazov Kol Mashab Olam Chutz Mimeno. And he says, V'al Pi Hadeya... Right? Eino oiv kodesh baruch hu el bedas shi yadeyu. Al pi adeya tiyo ava. Ma'at ma'at vim harbe harbe. So the ava now he's saying the ava is totally on das. The ava is totally on das. If it's a lot of das, you'll have a lot of ava. If it's a little das, a little ava. Lefikach tzorach odom liyachid atzmo lehoven ulhaskil b'chochmos utavunos hamodiyim lo eskono kvi koach sheyesh b'odom lehoven ulhasig kemoshe b'yana b'lchus yisodi atara. So therefore, liyachid atzmo. You have to, why would you put that? What? Seclude yourself? Okay. Seclude yourself in order to dedicate yourself. To lahavin ulhakil v'chachmos utvunos hamodiyim lo eskonov. So he says, like we explained in Yisodei HaTorah. So there are certain types of knowledge that I'm saying now give you this ava. Right? There's a certain path, certain type of knowledge that you get the ava from. Right, and that's in Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Beis, where he says there's a mitzvah. Le'ohavo, right? V'he'achia derech la'avo, so v'yira. So, b'sho'o she'yizbonin odom b'maisa v'bru'a v'anifloem ha'gidolim v'yira me'en chachmoso she'en lo'erech v'lo'keitz miyad hu o'ev u'mishabeach u'mefor u'misave taivo gidola leida Hashem ha'gadol. So here he says it's nature.
Is that the second Ava or the Ava?
So this is like the, so now it comes like this. In other words, now there's two things over here. There's a regular mitzvah of Ava. There's a mitzvah of Ava, a separate mitzvah. Right? That, he says, you get through understanding and looking into Chochmas Hashem in the creation. Right? In the universe. You see the Chochma. That is Miyad. Miyad, what? Who ohevu mishabech umafor umisave taiva gadol leida Hashem gadol. So that sounds like the minimal, like the just to be. No, I mean that's the basic mitzvah of Ava, right? And then he says, over here he says al pi hadeya tihya Ava, right? And the Ava haruuya is where. The Ava has reached the point where it's where you're shogeg b'tamid. And that's a different thing. That's now an Oved Me'ava. Right? It's two things. You have, there's the mitzvah of Ava, but that's not necessarily going to make a person an Oved Me'ava. Yeah. But all of this has nothing. In all of this is no mention of Simcha. Right? This is all Ava. No mention of Simcha over here. Just Ava. Okay. So Simcha is a completely simpler is a different thing. Right? Simpler is found where, I mean, in a few places, but you have over here in the end of Hilchos Lulav, the Rambam talks about simcha. Right? He says, even though in all the Moados is a mitzvah l'smoach bohen, on Chaga Sukkos, there was a tremendous simcha in the Mikdash. Okay? It was a real extravagant affair. Rambam describes it, you know, what went on every night until the morning. So there was you know, music and all types of dancing, right? And he says, but not everybody was involved in the simcha. Not everyone was involved, right? It was the gedolei chachmei Yisrael, v'roshei yeshivos, v'sanhedrin, v'chasidim, v'zakenim, v'anshei ma'isa, heimoyim rakdin. They were the ones who were doing the activities. Of al kol ha'am, ha'anoshim v'anoshim, kulan bo'en liros v'lishmoa. So everybody else was watching. So the chachamim were involved in the ma'isei simcha, and everybody else was watching. Now he's like this. Concludes the perek. The whole sefer is manam. Hasimcha sheyismach adam be'asiyas ha-mitzvah ube'avos hakel sheziva bohen avoda gedolihi. Okay, the Ram says, the simcha that a person has in doing of mitzvahs and in the avos hakel sheziva bohen avoda gedolihi, that itself is an avoda. The simcha is an avoda. V'chol ha-moneya atzmo me-simcha zu roi li yipor mimenu. And this is a funny thing. He says, whoever refrains from the simcha, right, whoever refrains from the simcha is worthy of punishment. Sh'nemar, tachas asher lo avadda s'shem lakecha b'simcha u'betuv levav. So how's he darshaning the pasuk? Tachas asher lo avadita es Hashem Elokecha. Because you were not an oved, you didn't do avodas Hashem. Which avodas Hashem? Bisimcha. Not that you didn't do avoda bisimcha, but you didn't do the avoda of simcha. Right? That simcha itself is an avoda. Simcha itself is an avoda. V'chol ha-megis daito v'chol ha-kovod la'atzma, and he goes into that if you were right, that you have to be mashpil yourself and elevate the you know, the one who's mashpil, the one who lowers himself for mitzvah, that's the greater person. That's the story with David. He was dancing in front of the Aaron. Okay. Yeah. So again, just to go back to our original question, it was the Ava, the level of an Oved Ne'ava, the Rambam, I mean, basically, aside for the implications, the bottom line is, I think, an Oved Ne'ava is universally understood that that's a very high level. That's an extremely high level, and it's rare, right? But simcha, the Rambam sounds like the simcha of mitzvos is something that everybody should have, right? That's not something that's considered an extremely high level. On the contrary, he says it's just refraining from the simcha. Right? It was like the simcha. It seems like he doesn't say it's interesting the way he puts it. He says the problem is if you refrain from the simcha, like the simcha should be a natural. It should be a natural simcha. It's just a question if you're refraining from it. How do you refrain from it? Because you chole kovod la'atzmo. Miskabe be'inov. The mekol mos elu is chote v'shota.
Is he learning that also into the pshat of the pasuk? Or the tapa?
No.
Not a failure?
Doesn't say that. It's a good question. So, yeah. So we wanted to try to understand. We can try to understand the idea of ava and simcha, if we can define them and see why there are these different levels of ava what exactly is the simcha of mitzvahs that the Rambam is talking about? What exactly is the simcha of mitzvahs that the Rambam is talking about? I mean, in general, the question is an interesting question in general. I mean, the ava and simcha are like emotional experiences, right? And how do you command someone in an emotional experience? I mean, say, be happy, be in love, right? And if you're going to say it's really nothing more than the das, so you have a mitzvah. You already have a mitzvah of Yedias Hashem. Right? It is something different. It is something different.
Do you mean the mitzvah of Ahavta, or do you mean the avoda?
I mean both, really. I mean, I'm not really asking a halacha question. It's not really a halacha question. It's just like, you know, you could say, or some people will say, okay, well, we don't really mean ahava. It doesn't really mean that kind of a. It means when you recognize God, that's called ahava. You know what I mean? But it doesn't seem like that. The Ram seems to be saying it is like this emotional ahava of a woman. How do you even compare the two? I mean, how is it possible that the feeling that a man can have for a woman, which is obviously based on the most base instinct, that itself is it would seem that whole realm of experience is wrong. If it can be applied to something that's so false, right? How does it have value as an experience? And it just seems to say, oh, it's sheker. You see, it's sheker. But if a guy could be so crazy in love with a woman and not see what's, you just have to read some Mishlei to see how dangerous a woman can be. how could it be that you have that crazy experience, but just for the right reason, right? But we're also asking what is ava? Is there any way that you can universalize ava? People have all kinds of loves. People have very various types of loves. Is there a way to universalize all of them and show that the universal idea is really applicable to Hashem? Seems difficult. I mean, there are all kinds of, some people love to eat, some people love to travel, some people love to read literature, some people love animals. You know, I mean, what is the underlying, is there one underlying idea that's just being expressed in different ways? It doesn't seem like that. Yeah, and then where does simcha fit in? It's just, I'm just asking like a basic human experience kind of a, the Torah is highlighting these two things, ava and simcha. And I understand, so can we universally define these things in a true way? You know, if we can define ava, then where does simcha fit in? You know, you ask somebody, what's the difference between ava and simcha? That's like an old kind of a question that goes floating around the kitchen every once in a while, And you get the answers. Well, what was Ava is a well, you had an answer.
Drive.
Drive, right? A drive. Ava is a drive, and simcha is a state. You know what I mean? Okay, but the appetitive is a drive, and a lot of drives. What is that really telling me? Is it really giving me? Is it uncovering a deeper truth because I can throw it into a category with a lot of things that don't seem to have anything to do with it? And happiness is a state. Yeah, okay, and so is, a lot of things are states. You know, I mean, what is this really? I mean, those are good first steps maybe, but they don't really, to think that you've defined it because you've called ava a drive and simcha a state, lacking. Okay, but since it's a human thing, and I'm really trying to understand what it means to I'm not trying to think. I'm not asking in an esoteric way. I want it. I'm only going to be happy if it's an answer that everybody could understand in themselves and see it as an experience. Okay, So I think I just take some examples, maybe, you know, like common types of examples, and just analyze them and see if we can find what. Don't be afraid of this, you know. You know, you can tell, you can talk about your friend if that makes you.
But the question
that bothers me is like this. Look, this is what bothers me. A guy could love. You see that if you take a poll of what do you love, people have all types of answers, right? But yet the Torah is telling you that. So it seems like love is a fickle thing, right? But yet that very same thing that seems so fickle, the Torah is mandating that you have it to Hashem, right? So now it seems like a very controllable thing. You know what I mean, is it a fickle thing or is it a controllable thing? So I'll just tell you, I happened to see this one example that was striking to me. Oh, one more thing. And then there's another example that, back to the Oved Me'ava. The Oved Me'ava. So the Rambam describes it first. He says that he's Osel Emes Mipnei Shu Emes. Right, v'sof hatova lovo biglola. But later on, I skipped over a couple of halachas in Perek Yud. In Dalet and Hey, he talks about kol ha'osik b'torah. He talks about lishma and shelo lishma, which seem to be identical to Me'ava and the other one. But for some reason, he recasts it in lishma and shelo lishma. And then he brings in, you know, the well-known example of, you know, that you shouldn't be osek, you shouldn't be oved, lekabel pras, right? Shouldn't be like an eved. What is it over here? Shouldn't be like an eved who's oved lekabel pras, right? You should be right. But you should be an Oved. Does he have it here? Yeah, he says like this. V'cheinai yigadol yachamim mitzavim l'nevonei talmideyem u'maskileyem b'yichud. Privately, they're telling him this. Al tihiyu ka'avodam amshamshim es harav k'dei l'kawal pras. Elevnei shehu harav ro'i l'shamsho. Klomar ovdo me'ava. So now we have another example, right? Now he has more of a another kind of thing of that. It's not just like he said before, Osa ha'emes b'pnei shehu emes. It's more specific, right? It's much more specific now. Osa ha'emes b'pnei shehu emes is a very general statement. You do the truth because it's truth. But here he's saying there's an idea of an oved me'ava is really like an eved who serves his king. Because, why? Because he's roy to be served. Right? Yeah. So I happen to see that. I happen to see, you know, we don't live in a society where, you know, this idea is on display too often. We live in a democracy, you know, we don't really have access, it's not common in our experience, the example of a king and a servant, but I happen to see it. This woman who works for in the stables of the Queen of England. All right, she's not really really a queen in the full sense. But it was amazing to see this woman. She her job was to prepare the horses. She worked with the horses. And they're going to be every once a year. The queen goes from her palace to the parliament, and gives a little speech, whatever it is. And this woman prepares the horse that draws her carriage. Okay, and she was just completely overjoyed. Just couldn't be happier. Okay, she really saw simcha. And what was her greatest simcha? That she's going to be some small part in the Queen of England going from her palace to the House of Lords, to make this speech that doesn't really have any meaning or any effect. But you really saw that she was really just Oved Me'ava. I mean, to the Queen of England, she was really an Oved Me'ava. I'm sure she got compensation too, but she wasn't doing it for that. I mean, she really just was. So, how do you explain something like that? Like, how do you explain something like that? What is going on in her mind? How is she? What is her joy? What is her love? I mean, obviously she loves the queen. Loves the queen. Okay? And therefore, there's obviously this connection of Ava and Simcha here that you see. She loves the queen and therefore is overjoyed to be, you know, brushing the horse that's going to lead the procession from the palace to the vomit. Yeah. Well, what kind of an idea is that? To be obeyed a king because he's roy to be served. What does that mean? Well, why is that? That's also an expression of obeyed me Ava. It's interesting. In other words, Ava itself, the Ram describes as a mashal with a woman, but when he describes actually the obeyed me Ava, he describes it in terms of the servant and the king, right? The Ava HaRu'uya he compares to a woman, but that's the Ava HaRu'uya is not an Ove Me'ava. That's the Ava HaRu'uya. Ove Me'ava he compares to the servant and the king. Yeah. So what do you say? What do you say? And can we universalize the idea of love? Can we define what her love is and universalize it? And people have it all the time. Patriotic. What does it mean you're patriotic? You love your country. Do you love your country? Right? What does that mean, you love your country? What does it mean? Yeah. So I think from the that woman with the Queen of England, I think what, if you watched it, maybe, you know, maybe I picked up something that you can't... You know, you're not picking up on from seeing her, but hearing her talk a little bit about. But you get the idea. I think you get the sense that she really believes that there's a reality that this woman should be the Queen of England. In other words, that it's proper in the world. That's her view. Her view is that it is a reality that. That the queen should exist. That's what it means that you are oved the melech because he's roy l'shamsho. Meaning to say, it's not just a fluke. It's not just a contrivance that we have over here. It's not just pomp and circumstance. There's something real over here. There's something real that this woman is queen has this place and this position. Is part of reality, not just part of circumstance, but it's part of reality. And the world is better, the world is more true when because she is queen. And her simcha is in being a part of making that of that reality. In other words, her greatest simcha is to help in some way to bring the reality of the existence of the queen to the world. This procession is a showcase for this reality. So I think that's a universally true idea. I think it applies in some respect to all love. That when you say, what does a person love? Okay, you say, what does a person love? It means the thing that they consider true existence. Okay, notice she thinks that the queen is like a truer existence than anybody else. Like she's not just a common person. She is. I mean, that's the general idea of nobility. You know, the caste system. This person is more true. More. Her existence is more real. Okay. And when you have an idea of reality, and that's a love, And when you're involved in bringing it to others or in expressing it, that's a simcha. So if a person loves to eat, so what does it mean? It means that to them, true life, what is life really? What is what's the real existence of man? Pleasure. And when is he going to be happy? When he's involved in bringing that view of reality into existence. Okay? That's what you have to... When a person likes something, they're not really convinced it's part of reality. It's just a pleasurable experience. But love is different. Ava is tied to your idea of reality. Why? Why? Because it really stems from a love of the self. And the love of existence. It really comes from the most basic idea of a love of existence itself. Right? I'll give you a good example, a striking example that everybody's probably aware of, familiar with, is a child, I think. The child has a tremendous love for the parent. Right? And is happy in the presence of the parent. When the parent is gone, the child is very unhappy. Why? What does that mean, translating it into these terms? It means that the child's existence is dependent on the parent. The child doesn't... The true existence to a child is the parent is part of that child's very existence. It's not just another person. Okay? That's what they know existence to be. A child, that's how a child starts out life. And the parent is part of the very fabric of what existence means. Okay, and the happiness is to continue and to maintain and to bring that existence, bring that idea of existence to reality. And when the parent is removed, that's a terrible tragedy. It's like existence itself is altered.
What's the love of it?
Love is existence. See, that's what I'm really trying to say. Love is existence. The love is for existence itself. The only thing is, when you say you love an object, it means that object is a very part of true existence. Okay? It's a very part of true existence itself. So that's really the ultimate interpersonal relationship love, where you say, you are my existence. Because that's the question. Doesn't it bother you? What is this guy doing with this woman all day? What is he doing with her? He's just with her? It means that that's part of his existence. He's thinking about it all day. That means that is existence. You understand? She's not just a friend. She's not just an acquaintance. His existence is incomplete without her. Yeah, right. That's the ultimate expression of love, right? Where like Yaakov, like Yehuda said, "V'nafsho k'shura b'nafsho." Their lives are bound up together. They don't have an independent existence. If you remove one, the other person's existence is incomplete. Their very existence. You understand what I'm trying to say? It's not like an object of love is not a normal object. An object of love is like a source of what you view to be proper existence itself. Right? Without you, I'm nothing. You just go through your head all of the expressions of love that people use, and they're trying to get to that idea, right? You are my everything, whatever, you're my sunshine. You know what I mean? What does that mean, you are my sunshine? It means just like if the sun wouldn't shine, that's how it would be without you. What's the sunshine? Reality! Right? So, that's what you're trying to convey. So, that's an automatic experience. That's an automatic, natural response. You can't avoid that. It's part of the very love of existing. You understand? It's part of very existence. So that's why the Rambam says that if a person sees what's behind existence, and he sees that everything that we have has a source, right, and that it's not its own primary existence, his whole view of reality now has been altered, right? Then that's an ava. An ava, that's then he now has avas Hashem, because now Hashem is part of, now he sees that God is real, is the truer existence, is the really the source. He doesn't exist in the world as he knew it before. Now he has a, now the world is an expression of God. Okay? And he wants, and he has a great taiva. Leda, that's why he always ties in Ava with a desire for more. Right? Because now you see the source, and you see that now the more I can uncover about that, about Hashem, the more I'm going to be, I can expand my existence. I can increase my existence. I can open up more of an idea of what reality is. It's that thirst. You understand what I'm trying to say? So that's why. It's an interesting thing. I mean, just in terms of the progression, the mitzvah of yediyah, right? The mitzvah of yediyah is to know sheyesha motzi rishon. But it's interesting. It's interesting. Until you really see how the world, that itself apparently doesn't show you doesn't create the ava itself. It's an interesting thing. I mean, just to think about. I mean, the mitzvah of yediyah is the most is the basic, that there is a motzi rishon. But until you see how it affects reality, then the mitzvah of ava is to see how that alters your perception of what's real. You understand? And then that should spur a desire to uncover more of that reality. That should, yeah. And let's wrap it up over here with simcha now. So that's, I think, is the simcha of mitzvahs. That a person has an idea of avas Hashem. He discovers avas. He discovers Hashem and avas Hashem. And now he knows that he's in the position to know that there is a greater reality. And he's also in the position to know that he's very far from uncovering that reality. Right? But he knows one thing too. He knows another thing. He knows that there's a system of mitzvot that will help him get there. You understand? He knows that there's a system of mitzvot that are designed to bring you closer to the true idea. That must be a simcha. That is the simcha of mitzvos. Because our definition is, the ahava is what your view of reality is, and then simcha is in bringing it true, is making it come true. Right, just like Lahavdil, that woman's idea is that the queen is a true existence, and to help her be that true existence was her greatest simcha. Right, so if when a person has avas Hashem and recognizes that there's much, much more to go. To uncover, right? That's his ava, and he knows now that asiyas hamitzvos are vehicles to help him get further. Then doing the mitzvos must be a great simcha, because it's helping him to achieve his idea of reality, right? That's what he means, that the simcha is an avoda, because avodas Hashem is bringing, avodas Hashem is really, in this way of looking at it, is a way of bringing the reality out to you. It's a way of actualizing. In other words, when an eved is oved his master, it's because he's saying that there's a reality that this, when the eved is involved in avoda, he's saying, because why? Shehu Harav Roy Lishamsho, right? Meaning say that this person is proper to be worshipped. He's proper to be served. It's proper for this person is not an ordinary existence. And the service to him is part of the reality of what he is. So it's the avoda, a good eved is oved me'ava. Why? Because he's proud of his master, and he wants his master to be well respected. He wants his view of reality is that his master should be considered the great person, and therefore the avoda is part of bringing that into fruition. Right? The avoda is really accomplishing the view of reality that he has. Now, of course, now by mitzvos, it's similar. I'm saying it's a little different. It's similar because here, the reality, over there by the Eved, you're trying to bring the reality to others, right? He's trying to bring the reality because it's not really true. And you have the feeling that if something is not true, but you convince a lot of people of it, then it's true, right? But over here, it's that you yourself want to be in the reality. And the avoda is bringing you to the reality. You understand? Is helping you realize to yourself, because you know that the more you perfect your midos and the more you are marchik, you know, bad ideas, and the more you're bringing in good ideas to yourself, that itself will increase the reality of Hashem to you. So that's, in that sense, it's an avoda me'avo. You understand? It's not kedei lekabel pras. It's just because this reality is something that I want to partake of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It doesn't mean that the simchon is an avoda. You understand the avoda me'avo?
Oh, so that means that if I'm not doing mitzvos bisimcha, then I'm not understanding what the mitzvos are at all. And simcha is avoda because avoda is bringing the reality out. That's what avoda is. Right? So if I'm bisimcha, it means that I'm doing the mitzvos as a means of uncovering the greater reality.
So what would be the difference between that?
It's the simcha of the mitzvos that's the avoda.
But is it
it's not simcha alone. It's the simcha of the mitzvos that is really the avoda. But don't think the mitzvos themselves are the avoda. It's only the mitzvos insofar as they are to you a vehicle of uncovering and bringing to the fore this true, this reality. That is indicated by simcha.
It's not that the act of the simcha is its own avoda, right?
No.
The mitzvos, insofar as their activity which brings you to simcha, and you're relating to them in that way.
Correct. Now, in simcha's base of shoeva, that was a slightly different thing. That's where that's not really the simcha of mitzvos. That's a separate thing. That's the happiness of having the mikdash, and there only the chacham can be involved. That simcha only the chacham can be involved in, because they're the only ones who can really know the value of the makom mikdash. But anybody else's juggling and fire throwing would not be indicative of the true cause of simcha. It would be mixed with their own base ideas of simcha. Yeah, Rafi.
Is the lady who in the horse just as happy as the person who does mitzvot for
her? Yeah, I mean, is she just as happy? Is she just as happy, or is she? Or you can say, is the person who's in love with this woman just as in love? Well, Rams is more. Rams is more. So it would seem not, because he says when he says the love, and then he says the true love is more than that. So is she just as happy? No, she's not just happy, because it's not a reality. I mean, underlying it, it doesn't. It's a good question. It's a good question. I have to think about it. But that's the basic thesis I'm trying to put together. And one thing we left out is simcha. Take a look. Maybe we'll take it up a little bit next. Another time. The halacha in Perek Vav of simchas yom tov is also interesting. I've tried to tie that in. Yeah. See, I think there are different levels of oved me'ava at this point. I think the most basic oved me'ava is where the person sees that there is an idea of Avas Hashem, and he knows, he just knows that the mitzvahs are there, but he doesn't really understand, he doesn't really see how the mitzvahs are going to help him. It's not a miyah. I think that person is not the Oved Me'ava like an Avram Avinu. I have to think about it a little more. It's a good question. I think you can have a low, that's what I'm saying, that's what I want to say before that. The simcha I think everybody can have. Because as long as you understand what the goal is and that the mitzvahs are there to help you with that goal, that should automatically, then you should have a simcha. Okay, you should have a simcha in doing it. But there does seem to be a higher level where it's just the mitzvahs themselves are like a natural thing. The question that someone would ask now was Avram Avinu doing mitzvahs b'simcha or just b'ava? Right? Right, so what does he have more? So what is he doing more? Now, I have to think about it a little more.
Right.
Yeah, we need that. I'd like to think about that a little more. Just I don't really have a clear answer right now. Right. Just it's a good mushroom. No, just one more mushroom with love. It's like a guy who loves animals. Right. Like the Steve Irwin loved animals. Just loves to get down there in the dirt, crawl around, act like an animal. Everything. Right. So what does that mean? Means to say he really holds that the animal life is the truer life, and man is just like a is complicating things. You know, and if we can, if his distortion of what true man could just leave all of his cities and just live like an animal again, then he'd really be living in line with his true reality. And the way we live is a distortion of our reality. And he wishes he could live back. It's a statement. It's a philosophical statement of what he really thinks is real, what he thinks is really true. And when he's living like the animal, till the stinger went through his heart, he was extremely happy. Maybe even at that moment, because that was part. That was a kiyum. That was part of his living like an animal.